You're listening to The Exchange. Golden Voice audiobook narrator Julia Whalen joins Kelsey and Jen in this episode of The First 50 Pages to talk about her work as a storyteller, how she creates transformative moments for listeners, and how the audiobook industry is evolving.
Julia Whalen is a writer, actor, and one of the premier audiobook narrators recording today. She has narrated over 400 audiobooks in all genres and has been repeatedly featured on Audiophile Magazine's annual Best of lists. If you look at the list of Julia's accolades, it's obvious why she was presented with Audiophile Magazine's Lifetime Achievement Golden Voice Award in 2020. We're both a little starstruck today to be able to chat with the amazing Julia Whalen.
Welcome to the First 50 Pages, Julia.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So I know that one of the questions that you get asked pretty regularly is how you got into the business of narrating audiobooks. And it is a fun story, but our question, like this burning question that I have for you, is when it was that you fell in love with narrating audiobooks.
Very good question. And they go hand in hand. So the cute story is that one of my best friends in college, her mother was an audiobook producer and director for a company called Brilliance. And at our college graduation, she happened to come up to me and say, you know, you have an acting background? And I had just graduated with an English and creative writing degree. And she said, you might be well suited to this. Have you ever thought of doing audiobooks? And I hadn't listened to an audiobook. I didn't really even know what she was talking about. But when I graduated, I went back to Los Angeles, and the entertainment industry had changed so much, and I had been out of it for so long. I mean, 4 years is like an eon, that it was hard to get back into. And so I was in LA and, you know, tutoring to make ends meet and kind of twiddling my thumbs. And I finally emailed Laura and I said, what do I have to do this? And I put together a demo and I sent it to her, and she gave me two YA novels to do. And I loved it from the beginning. Like, it was one of those, just the very first page of the very first book that I did, I thought, this is for me. This is absolutely what I love. This is everything I love. This is the like Venn diagram of performance and literature. And I loved it from the get.
I know you've done over 400 audiobooks, right? And I'm not going to ask you to pick favorites. Certainly that's an impossible task with a list
Thank you.
Like that, you know. But are there characters or stories that you have especially enjoyed narrating?
That's such a good question. It kind of started for me. Well, actually, that's not true. I was going to say it started for me with Gone Girl, and I still carry Amy Elliott Dunn with me. I don't think that character goes away. I love that character so much. But even before that, I think I did a Jandy Nelson novel. It was maybe only my fourth book or something, and The Sky is Everywhere, it was called, and it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And that character, Lenny, stays with me a lot. And then over the years, I mean, I think most recently, Addie LaRue was just so much fun. And it was also a challenge. I really took that book on as I wanted to try something different with the narration there. And I kind of set that as a goal that I was going to experiment with something. And so that book means a lot to me.
It worked. It totally worked. Your experiment worked. Like,
thank you.
I just, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No,
but I
no,
just have
please.
To tell you that the play that you have between Addie and Luke, like the tension that you create in the story. Like, I read the book first, and then I decided to listen to the audiobook, and it just, you add so much. And it really is performance. You know, I think that's really, like you say, you are an actor, and that, you know, just really, it's probably one of, you know, my favorite character interplay in any audiobook that I've listened to. So that's just my moment
so
to tell
much.
You how much I
loved
it.
She's basically trying to pawn the audiobook off on every single person.
I am. You have
library,
to listen
like,
to
staff.
This.
She's like, so have you listened to this yet? She's like, I can give you a specific disc. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
As the person that orders the audiobooks, I'm like, okay, can we not pass out individual discs to people? Like, I need to get this
that
back.
That way
like,
lies Julie's madness. Great, let's not like, do that.
You know, we need to get that back.
I'm like, just the scene. If you just listen to this scene, then you'll get an idea and you will totally fall in love with this one. But sorry.
Well, thank you. No, I really appreciate that. I really do. I think, you know, that book is so extraordinary. And that was one of those that when I got it, I just, first of all, I was very excited to do one of these books. And I had been following, you know, the gossip about the book for a long time. And I kind of, it was on my radar. And I was, so, cause I was going to read it anyway, regardless of whether I was narrating it. And when I read it, like within 10 pages, I just was like, oh, okay, this is going to be so much fun. And I collaborated, with V on some of the performance choices because I wanted her blessing for what I was going to try to do with, and this is what I meant by an experiment. I was figuring out how we were going to have this woman who doesn't age, but has had 300 years of life experience that does something to someone's vocal traits, even if they're still technically the same age. And then dealing with how her accent has been softened over those centuries and over the different places that she's lived. And so there was this just kind of constant equation happening of where she was at in her own journey, where the book was at, how that was going to be communicated to the listener without being confusing. And she was so supportive of just saying, you know, honestly, whatever you want to do with it, which is very freeing.
So on your website, you link to a really interesting interview with Caroline Kitchener, mm-hmm. For The Lily, which for those listeners that don't know, is a product of The Washington Post, where you talk about what makes an authoritative voice and how listeners tend to trust a man's speaking voice over a woman's. Do you think that the industry, or at least parts of the industry, are trying to, you know, kind of shift the way we think about what makes an authoritative voice?
I think it is. And I think it's gotten better since I did that interview, since they did the profile. And we were kind of at the beginning of it then. And I see a concerted effort in our industry, producers that take this issue very seriously. The way that books were kind of revolutionized by the own voices movement, I feel that happening in audio finally, which is so necessary and so overdue. So I do think that's changing. But I think at the end of the day, we are still limited to a certain extent by publishing and the fact that we still have most books that are written by men have more money behind them and more traction because they're usually nonfiction, which is the easier place to make money, which means that those books because they have male authors, are generally going to be voiced by men. And it's a self-perpetuating issue that is really rooted in publishing, which is obviously very rooted in commerce and where people put their money. So I think we're doing the best we can in our corner of this industry. And I have seen a lot of change, and it's coming from a lot of work from a lot of different people trying to make this happen. And that's been very gratifying.
Our thanks to you, Julia, for joining us in conversation today. It has been a pleasure to chat with you. Yeah, we look forward to continuing to be listeners.
Thank you. I look forward to continuing to record. Yeah. But this was just lovely, and you had some great questions. So thank you for having me.
And finally today, we have an update from the Sioux City Community School District on a mask mandate that will be effective on buses in order to fight the spread of the coronavirus. The district says the Iowa Department of Education has reiterated its position that federal guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, supported by the Iowa Department of Public Health, requires masks to be worn on public transportation, and that includes school buses. And now the district will implement a mask mandate on school buses beginning Thursday, September 23rd. All students and drivers will be expected to wear a mask while traveling on school buses, even though there's no mask mandate in place for school buildings or school events. This mask mandate includes extracurricular travel on school buses, as well as transportation to and from school. The mask mandate will remain in effect until further notice. Some masks will be available on buses, but each child should come prepared when they get on the bus with a mask of their own. And that's it for this edition of The Exchange. Thanks to Steve Smith. I'm Mary Hartnett. We'll see you next week.